This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at SUSE today talking with Mark Smith.
Hi there, Ian. So Mark Smith, I'm the SUSE Global Product Marketing Manager for SUSE OpenStack Cloud.
It's been a very exciting 6 months for SUSE. You've had deals with HPE, deals with Micro Focus, deals with Fujitsu. Do you just want to round that up and give us some idea of what's going on? Because so much happening, hard to quite unpick some of this.
Glad to. And I think you're right. I think it's been an interesting time. Increased momentum, a lot more visibility for SUSE, especially in the OpenStack marketplace. And we met up in Silicon Valley back in August last year when we were just announcing partnership with Mirantis. And at that stage, what we were doing in, I'd like to say typically SUSE fashion, a very open source approach, we were providing support for Mirantis with enterprise-grade Linux so they could then build their stack distribution on top of that. So providing support for both SUSE Linux, SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, and also for Red Hat. I think that was a beginning of a period of momentum, because at that point SUSE became the Linux of choice for Mirantis. Then we had the Micro Focus HPE announcement, which again had SUSE Linux as the Linux platform of choice for HPE. A little bit after that, we announced an expanded partnership with Fujitsu, which was all around hybrid cloud and container technology collaboration for the future. And then back end of November, we had the SUSE HPE announcement about the acquisition by SUSE of OpenStack technology and talent, and also Cloud Foundry technology and talent from HPE, which is still going through the works, of course, and is soon to be finalized. So lots of interesting news, lots of interesting stuff all around the kind of container at the OpenStack front.
What's changed to project you into this space? If I go back 5 years and started to talk to people about Linux, your name would be there, but Red Hat would come out first. Suddenly you've come out fighting. You're signing big deals all over the place. What's been that point of acceleration suddenly for you as a company?
That's a really good question. A couple of factors come to mind. First of all, SUSE was in right at the beginning of the Linux story, certainly from an enterprise perspective. And even from an OpenStack perspective, we're a founder member of the OpenStack Foundation, so we were in there right at the start. We like to think that we came out with the first enterprise-grade OpenStack distribution because it was based on SUSE Linux. That was back in 2012, so we've been in there all the time. But I think that you're quite right, there's been a big lift in visibility. Now being a Micro Focus company is part of that. Micro Focus are very keen for us to be able to grow our footprint and our business. As OpenStack has matured, it's got to the point now where people are using it largely in production, and that's coincided nicely with new features and functionality that have become very important to people. So as an example, we were talking a little earlier about container as a service capabilities, and SUSE OpenStack Cloud 7 building in Magnum and Kubernetes integration to give a container as a service capability and orchestration inside the SUSE OpenStack Cloud distribution is very important. So we've got to the point now where we're no longer talking about all the brand new functionality that's coming with OpenStack. It's now mature. It's usable. People are actually using it for production workloads, and it's got that stage where it's productive. I think all of that has added to the buzz, really. And I think, again, we were talking earlier about what's happening at the OpenStack summits. It's more now about use cases and how the OpenStack cloud is being used and about what customers are looking to do with it to really drive business benefits.
Your position within OpenStack also changes as a result of all these agreements. You were a big contributor beforehand, but now you're going to have all that HPE talent. You're arguably now the biggest contributor going forwards. How does that change the responsibility on how you work with the community, on the projects that you back, and the projects that you start to promote?
SUSE's always been very focused on customer requirements, very focused on customer demand. But we've always had a direct approach and a partner approach. We work very well with partners and drive the features that customers are looking for. So as an example of that, we have a lot of our larger OpenStack customers that have got mainframes. Based on what they're looking for, we've taken the view that OpenStack is not just for a KVM cloud-native area. We've actually taken a multi-hypervisor approach. So we build in support, for instance, for IBM Z-Systems ZVM hypervisor support. It's just one example of the fact that if we understand what customers are looking to do with the OpenStack, and if we see that there's a business case to do that, then we will support that. Now, the same will be true with partners. They'll have specific needs, and then we will look to work with them to bring those to market.
How does that square with the big tent approach that OpenStack take? If we look at the projects, they are very technologically orientated. They're often driven by vendors with a focus in one area. And this is not a customer focus. This is, we have a technology, we want to promote it, we can build from this. Squaring the two between technology push and customer push is always a challenge for any company when you own everything. When you're just part of a wider group of people working towards something, it becomes even more complex because you're trying to fight multiple corners. How will you balance out from your perspective, and how do you see this changing OpenStack's perspective if customers have to be listened to more rather than the technology teams who are pushing so many big tent projects?
Yeah, that's always going to be a challenge, isn't it? Balancing those two approaches of what you can do with technology and what customers actually want to do with it. I found the user survey interesting from the last OpenStack Summit in Barcelona, because when you look at what customers are actually using from all of the project choices they have within OpenStack, and OpenStack is actually a bag of projects, right, a bag of tools. What we do as a distribution is package those to make them easily consumable, slick and easy for customers to use. And actually, there are a core of those projects that almost everybody is using. And then there's obviously a much larger pool of periphery technologies that very few people are using. But when they need them, they can bolt them on to the OpenStack platform. The other side of that is that we also want to avoid vendor lock-in for customers. And that's a key thing from an open source solution. So, you know, they're looking for an integration platform for a private cloud that will give them choice and flexibility and not lock them into a single vendor. And actually, I think there's a consolidation going on within the OpenStack that is playing very nicely to that. But obviously, you've got the other projects around the edge where customers need them, they can use those.
OpenStack Vancouver led us to OpenStack Austin. Suddenly we had coherency coming with OpenStack. Prior to that, it was beginning to look like Unix. Lots of vendors and lots of disparate little distributions beginning to appear. We saw in Barcelona everybody standing on stage and showing that we can now install across multiple versions of OpenStack with the same set of scripts without having to customize every time. It plays to this toolkit, this bringing together that you were talking about. How much further do we have to go before we can have that level of simplification? Because the big difference between taking an open source project and an open source enterprise project is that the open source side, you've got to do all the integration. If you take the enterprise version, that's done for you. OpenStack's starting to become that enterprise project. Are we really there yet? Or has the consolidation we've started to see got to go a long way to reduce the number of players in this market to make that work?
So OpenStack is a vibrant community. And I think that there's been a lot of what we might call traditional enterprise players that have seen the value of OpenStack, and they brought technology expertise into the OpenStack area. And there have been a lot of distributions that have then been available of OpenStack. But actually, I think what we're seeing is a consolidation back to what we might describe as being distributions supported by open source veterans, the likes of SUSE. That makes sense, because what we're looking for is really support that has both depth and breadth. So depth from the point of view that the entire stack is supported. So OpenStack on top of an enterprise grade Linux, but also the breadth so that it's supporting a wide variety of hardware, right? Whether that's compute, storage or networking. That's important because what we're looking at is being able not just to do net new workloads on brand new clouds, but also to be able to bring an evolution of efficiency into a data center by being able to expand the value of that private cloud to where customers have 90% of their investment, what they already have, the hardware that's already existing, generations of equipment that they can now deploy OpenStack to. Now, building on an enterprise-grade Linux like SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, that interoperability, that breadth of support is already there. Building an OpenStack on top of that Linux means that you've got the depth as well. It's not a surprise, really, that we're consolidating down to the veterans of open source from the Linux world, because they know how to make that work. They know how to package it. They know how to support it well. So it makes sense that there's a consolidation back to those enterprise veterans, because they also know how to make a business out of that. They know how to make revenue out of supporting an open source product like that. And that's got to be the case. OpenStack will become a $5 billion business marketplace by 2020. We'll have to make a business out of that in order to be able to continue to contribute.
How far does that consolidation go? You talk about open source veterans, and the natural tendency is to look at the established Linux vendors, to look at the big players like IBM and Oracle. And up until a few months ago, HPE, but they've now decided to consolidate and work with yourselves. There are a lot of smaller players out there. Do we end up with 5, 10, 12. We're at 18, 19 at the moment. Where do you see that consolidation realistically going in terms of numbers of distributions?
The market will decide, I guess, is the way we'd have to probably put that. But this makes sense too. A company like HP, for instance, they work very closely with their customers. They're delivering an end cloud solution. It makes sense that they can provide the support to their customers in terms of consultancy and all the other kind of support elements the customer requires. If they build that on a solid platform in partnership, then that kind of makes sense. And it's just the same way, for instance, as you would build a solution today on Linux. You build it on top of a distribution. It doesn't require you to have designed your own distribution. We'll see how that plays out. But OpenStack will remain a vibrant community. It'll remain a flexible platform. What I like about what's happening with OpenStack is that some of the things we're doing with it today were never even thought about when the project first started in 2010. You know, what we're doing today with container orchestration and container workloads is very different from what we were doing just a few years ago. The way that's been used for DevOps, as an example, the way that telecoms industry is using OpenStack is an interesting development. So the beauty is it's a consolidation platform that has the flexibility to allow you to do a huge number of different things. And even in a data center, you can use it to consolidate bare metal workloads, virtualized environments, brand new cloud native containerized workloads, microservices, whatever it is you need to do. And you can do it on one platform rather than having to have multiple different ways of doing things.
If we take a step forward from there, one of the challenges, we have three big cloud platforms out there: Microsoft, Google, Amazon. OpenStack is trying to position itself as the fourth platform, but it's not a single platform because we have the number of distributions. How does it present coherency to customers? We've talked just now about the fact we can now do a single push to multiple versions of OpenStack, but we can't yet easily port from one to the other. We've got lots of little islands. What we don't have is a set of bridges across those islands because the migration becomes quite difficult. There are API issues, there's a whole bunch of code issues we've yet to address. What is needed to make OpenStack that first tier player equivalent to the other three?
OpenStack's been working very hard to make sure that you can port workloads between different versions of OpenStack, and efforts like, for instance, DevCore, where the core capabilities are consistent between all the sources that you can consume the cloud from, are actually aimed at making that a lot easier. I would say that we're at the point now where you can start to do that. And most customers now, they don't have just one cloud solution. What tends to be happening is they're using multi-cloud. That actually means they've got public cloud somewhere doing particular jobs. They've got private cloud somewhere doing particular jobs. But the direction that almost all of our customers want to go is hybrid. They want to be in a position where they can push workloads to whatever cloud they want. They'll be able to do that within OpenStack. But they want to be able to push that, either expand it to the public cloud when they need to for bursting. And you know, what's the mechanism that's best to do that, whether that's done via a cloud management software tool or whether it's done through containerization, which seems to be a great way of actually moving workloads easily around from cloud to cloud. That's all beginning to mature. You know, hybrid is something that's on the horizon. I think will answer a lot of customer issues of that type. And today, I think that's aspirational for a lot of customers. They're still in a multi-cloud environment, but more and more workloads are going to be moving to the cloud.
I've seen, I look at it from the outside, and I see many of those customers caught in a multi-cloud that's not of their own making. Business units going out and buying an application, buying a solution, and suddenly presenting it as a fait accompli to their IT departments. If we look at the management of that, part of the struggle for the internal IT teams is APIs. I have these APIs from Amazon, I have these APIs from this OpenStack over here. They're very similar to the API from that OpenStack over there when I'm talking about storage, but this vendor's done something and this vendor hasn't done something. The core to solving that is going to be the platform as a service environments. How far away are we from being able to stabilize the platform as a service to enable us to actually gather all those APIs in, to make it very easy for a developer to actually write what they want and then actually say deploy to OpenStack B, move it from OpenStack C to OpenStack Q, because that platform will do that auto translation of those APIs because that's what it's designed to do. Are we a year, 2 years away? Where's that on that timescale?
I think that's a really good question, Ian. I think there's two ways that containerized workloads in particular, because I think that's what we're kind of talking about here. A lot of DevOps environments already have a series of tools that they're using, and they're looking for is lightweight open source operating systems and orchestration areas that will help them to do that. And there are other customers that are looking for an entire platform environment with runtime support and all of the other tools that they need to do exactly what you're talking about. And I think that this is really illustrates why the current acquisition that SUSE is looking to do with HP HPE is very important because it will accelerate our move into that platform as a service area with a Cloud Foundry certified platform as a service offering. However, we're not looking to lock customers in to simply using one stack of solutions. We're looking to give them choice because at the moment, that really is the key. Different customers have different ways of wanting to move forward with that roadmap to that vision you just described. And our job is really to give them the tools that work best for them. And at this stage, that's about giving them choice and flexibility. So we will have a platform as a service environment. We will have a container as a service environment that we can help them with, and a software-defined infrastructure that supports all of that. Well, that seems to be the ideal job for an OpenStack layer.
Education's going to be key to this in terms of taking internal IT teams, making them aware of what's going to happen, particularly for hybrid, how they've got to prepare their applications, how they move forwards. We've seen a lot of good work going on from the OpenStack Foundation itself. It's spent money, it's brought in people to help it design courseware, but there hasn't been a huge certification push at the moment. We know that for large enterprises in particular, they tend to look at certification as if I acquire X number of people with that certification, I can solve that problem. What are you going to be doing now that you've got fingers in multiple pies, as far as OpenStack is concerned, to push certification from your perspective, and how do you make sure that stays consistent with what the larger foundation is trying to do?
You're right. Skills is really important. I mean, it's one of the reasons you'd use a distribution, to be honest, because that actually saves a big chunk of manpower. I mean, that's the reason for doing it, making it easy for customers. But we've recognized the need for certification and training in an OpenStack environment. We're working very closely with the foundation to deliver certification. And we've dovetailed our training program with the foundation's training program, even making it so you can do one exam and get certification for SUSE OpenStack Cloud and OpenStack in general. I think that is very important, and it's going to be an ongoing journey, of course. It seems like every year you've got to pick up a new set of skills. We're very supportive of making sure that that happens. And our training team at each of the summits are running training classes. Frankly, every single summit, they're oversubscribed. So I can see absolute pull from customers. Just got to make sure that happens.
We're only a couple of months away from OpenStack Boston. Barcelona was great. What are we going to see at Boston?
We're just in the planning stages of what we're going to be doing, I think, for Boston. You're right, though. There's been a different flavour at every one of the summits recently. I found Tokyo, there was quite a lot of emphasis on telcos. Ourselves, we're looking very carefully and working very closely with the OPNFE. So NFE is obviously a big theme for OpenStack. I found that when we got past Austin and came to Barcelona, it was less about what are the brand new features, because actually it's mature now, and it was much more about, and not even about production. I think if you've gone back to how many OpenStack clouds were actually in production, that might have been a theme at Austin. But I liked what Mark Collier said in Barcelona, that that topic was so last year. So we do have now maturity, and I think that you're going to see more in Boston, more emphasis, more commentary about the enterprise nature of OpenStack and how it is actually supporting the evolution of data centers as well as the revolution of data centers. So I think we'll see much more talk about open source as that platform that helps you do your traditional workloads as well as your net new cloud native workloads. And I think actually that was a theme that started and was coming out in Barcelona. I think that will strengthen.
We're very close to getting the I's dotted, the T's crossed on the HP Helion assets coming across. Where next? Once you absorb that, do you stabilize, or are you going to be on the acquisition trail straight away looking for more?
That sounds to me, Ian, like a really good topic for the next podcast, whenever we get to talk next. Let's let the dust settle on everything, and then we'll be able to give you some more detail there.
Mark, thank you for your time.
Pleasure.